Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life. And there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
All I know is, you mess with me, you got problems.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Friday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. We'll Sprague the line coming up bottom of the hour. Keep your fake sponsors rolling in. Kevin Todd will call in. We all went 2-1 this weekend, or yes, last weekend. So we're coming off some winning bets. We'll see if we can follow it up with another winning weekend.
I'm not having a good start to my overall picking every single NFL game, though.
Oh, yeah, you're doing that again. That's fun that you do that.
You inspired me to do that this year. I have not done that before. I've done these super contest style with friends before where you just pick five NFL games a week and see who has the best record. This year, I'm doing the full Sprague. I'm going the full schedule. We'll see, I guess, how we stack up at the end of the year.
What's your record so far 2 weeks in?
I got to go back and look. The Thursday game I got wrong. I would have put the Jags.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten any of the Thursday games right. And last 2 weeks, I've been below 500. So it's probably 5-6 games below right now.
I just looked at mine. I'm 18-14-1. So I started like right about 500. This week two, I went 10-6. I was solid there.
That's
and
a
then
good
I got
week.
The I got the Dolphins last night. So 18-14-1.
Are you tweeting them out?
No, I'm not, but I can.
Yeah, come on Sunday, dude.
Okay, publicize this.
Jump into the mentions. Let's get this going. We'll start a thread.
Go follow Ryan Buckley on Twitter while you're at it. Somebody texted in, Sprague is now out of my top 10, 1080 The Fan host since he wears a backwards hat. I agree. you were just cracking my top 10. I put you at number 9. You were right there, borderline top 10. Okay, he's turning it around. All right, we're moving back in the right direction.
Screw you, Dirt.
I feel like a very mature show now. We can be serious.
Now okay? I feel like me and Buck need to battle. I got a swoosh. She's got the three-stripe
yeah,
life.
Yeah, this is quite the intense rivalry. Hey, why is LeBron such a bitch?
There's many reasons to that. I mean, it probably doesn't help that he's a star prodigy by age 11 that everybody fawns over and does whatever he wishes. That probably isn't a great start. I know the complaining of calls. I'm going to call a spade a spade. We would be bitching and moaning if any other great all-time player was playing nowadays and we had Twitter. You think Jordan didn't get the benefit of a whistle? We just didn't have Twitter.
That's the way the NBA has always
been. So, yeah, LeBron got some calls last night. He had one play where it looked like he probably fouled Murray. But overall, I think free throw-wise, they're dead even for the series. So let's not act like the Lakers are getting a boatload more whistles than the Nuggets and shooting 80 more free throws in the series. I think it's actually split at free throws.
Well, last night there was a 12 difference in the discrepancy.
Well, yeah, they bitched and moaned and the NBA
they
said,
got the
right.
Whistle.
They wrote a letter.
Well, I looked this up too during the break.
Sternly written letter.
Because I figured you were going to bring that up and I looked it up. Kyle Korver had a great quote when he got to Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
He basically said, here it is. He says, when you go against LeBron, you think he gets every single foul call. When you play with LeBron, he doesn't get enough of them. I said this yesterday. It's the Shaq treatment. He is bigger, stronger, more athletic than almost every single player in the NBA, even in year 17. And there are moments he exaggerates. He whines and doesn't get back. I am not going to argue any of that. But there's plays where people think he's exaggerating. He actually gets hit. But because he doesn't get knocked off his spot, you think there's no foul there. How about the block call on him last night against Murray? Did you watch the side replay?
Yeah.
That was good defense, but he's 6'8", 270. Murray's 6'2", and Murray just falls down because he runs into a mountain of a man. They didn't give LeBron the benefit in that call. So sure, he got the benefit last night with some calls. I'm not refuting that. But the series is pretty even with free throws.
Yeah, did you see Draymond Green's take last night?
The Murray hasn't earned the whistle yet.
Yeah, on that play where somebody asked, because he tweeted that Denver needs to switch so LeBron gets off of Murray. He's too big, can't handle him. Somebody responded, said LeBron fouled him on that play. And Draymond quote tweeted it and said he hasn't earned that call against Bron in that moment.
And people went at Draymond for that, and I get it. I don't disagree. The sad part is that is what the NBA is.
That's the way it works.
Have you, quote unquote, earned it? Are you a Dame dealt with this the first 3-4 years of his career? Hell, maybe even the fifth. I remember being at those games and he drives and he falls and he's always like putting his arms up and the crowd's booing.
Yeah, he's a tiny guy that gets tossed around in the paint. Like, he deserves to go to the foul line more.
He struggled to get those calls for a long time. And now when you watch him, he does the standard, hey!
Yeah.
And he'll get the whistle now. It does take some guys a little longer in their careers to get that benefit. And
Stephen Curry still can't get the calls.
Ooh, Bucks, you say he still doesn't get the whistle? Come
Dude,
on, Bucks.
Still gets hammered in the lane. He was the only unanimous MVP ever.
That's a hot take. I got to say, hot take. Three-time world champion doesn't get the whistle. That's
not
a hot take.
Benefit of the doubt.
Does it get the Braun whistles?
It is. I think part
of it. Or the Harden
whistle.
He doesn't get the Harden whistles.
Yeah, the Harden whistle is
Braun
the worst
doesn't
of
even
all of
get
them.
The Harden whistle.
Only Harden gets the Harden whistle.
But Harden works for the Harden whistle, which Steph won't do.
He's crafty.
Neither
for
will
it.
Dame. Like, those guys don't go around looking for the foul. They go looking for the play, and then they hope they get
right,
the foul.
Right. And they want the whistle to be called when they actually get fouled. I will say this, too. Like, LeBron, your points are all valid. He is big, he's very hard to officiate. He could, just because of his size and his strength, and you can argue that every time he goes to the hoop, he gets whacked in some way, shape, or form and should probably go to the foul line. You just don't call it because he doesn't flinch or go to the ground like some guys who are smaller would. I think part of it for me, and this exists with other guys around the league, is that the constant complaining takes away from it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're just going about your business and every once in a while you voice a concern, and I am a unabashed homer, so maybe people outside of Portland disagree with that. I feel like Dame does a pretty good job of that, where he'll raise a concern every now and then or have a conversation as you're going to a timeout with an official, like, hey, keep an eye on this, or why didn't you call that? But when it's like every time you're going to the hoop or every time you're called for a foul, you raise that concern and you're taking your mouthpiece out and you're yelling at an official. And then the news comes out that you wrote or he didn't, but the team writes the letter. And then you go to the foul line 14 times the next night. I think it all just kind of adds up for me. But there was no doubt, if there was a prop bet on his over under free throws, if you didn't hammer the over on that last night, you were totally missing out.
Well, you know, and I that's the one part of the game. Well, there's a couple, but that's one part that actually has bothered me for a long time.
Like, dude, we all are at home. There's millions of people at home watching slow motion replays.
Yeah.
We are going to know in real time whether you were fouled or whether you fouled somebody, and you're going to look like a jackass if you complain.
Well, it's the complaining part, because, and I'll equate it to this. I find the complaining, and throw LeBron in there,
Oh, he's not the only one. It's all over the league.
There's a lot of players that do that. You can all throw them in the same bucket for me. There's the problem I have is it reminds me of the MLS. You know, the difference of watching soccer, if I ever do, is that when I watch the women, they're not flopping, they're not fake crying, they're just playing soccer. They're tough, they get up, they play. I watch the MLS, I went to a game, I see it occasionally on TV. I can't tell you how many times you get flops, people holding their eye like it just came out of their skull. And I hate it. It just bothers me. I think it's very bad for the game. I think the NBA's got a bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
You get star players that they want the treatment. They want the whistle. They want the benefit. And it bugs the living hell out of me when LeBron stands back because he didn't get the call. He puts his arms up. The other team's going down, and he's late getting back. The team gets
5-3. 5-4.
Like, those are the moments that I wish a coach and or a teammate would look at him and just be like, what the hell are you doing? Get your ass back. And I know they won't because he's LeBron, but still, I hate that. I do hate that part of the game.
Yeah, it can be frustrating. By the way, if you're wondering, Denver and Mike Malone said after the game that they too now will be writing a letter to the NBA.
Well, Jamal Murray, I know they didn't win the game, but good God.
He is so fun to watch, man. Some of those shots, that up and under that he, LeBron went for the block, that was one of the crazier shots I've seen.
The left-hand fadeaway.
Dude, that was nuts. He was so fun to watch.
I was going to say, the one getting all the love was the up and under, which was incredible, but he had two highlights in that game. Yeah. The one where he's falling away with his left almost going sideways was ridiculous.
A one-handed shot.
They get to the conference finals. Portland was there last year. Do you watch this younger team with Jokic and Murray and just kind of quiver as a Blazer fan of like, oh God, they're going to be back next year.
It's not just Denver. It's the whole Western Conference that makes me quiver.
Oh, sure.
They're just part of what makes me quiver. They're just a slice of the pie.
Yeah.
Should we all now make a 3-1 joke? They got him right where they want him.
Can lightning strike three times?
I would have told you it couldn't strike twice, and I'm going to now tell you it can't strike three times, but I told you the same thing in the last round.
Well, we've got two things here. We've got one team that could do this for the third time, which would be pretty remarkable to see.
I mean, you're talking like that takes the cake of like Red Sox 0-4 to me. If you do this three straight times and you end up winning a championship to do it.
Oh, I got to be
like,
real
that
honest.
That would be madness.
Doing it twice in a playoff has never happened.
Right.
It's already to that level. If they do it three times, that's a story. The other part of that. They may not win the title. I'm picking Miami to do it. You know, a lot of people said LeBron played in the East. Oh, wait till he comes out West. He's never played in the West. He's a game away from getting out of the West.
He is.
Where are those critics at?
Well, they're not speaking up right now, Brandon.
Oh, okay.
I
was told the West was
waiting.
Too tough. He couldn't do it.
They're waiting.
And he's a game away from the finals. Either way, I'm going to be ecstatic.
Yeah, either way, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. And last night, it was a really good game. The complaining and the whistles was a subplot. Anthony Davis got hurt late. Sounds like he's going to be okay, though. Pretty scary looking roll of the ankle, but he was walking around after the game with no wraps.
And Mike Malone, like Jokic got five fouls with 2 minutes to go. What are you doing sitting him?
Yeah, I didn't quite get that. He should have been in the game in the fourth quarter.
You play him till the wheels fall off, man. He's maybe your best player, probably your overall best player. Put his ass in and pick and roll L.A. to death.
I saw a good tweet that said, when Anthony Davis goes down, it's kind of like when you drop your iPhone. You just hope that everything's okay once it hits the ground.
No
cracks. Somebody cracks. Oh,
like,
no.
It'll be fine, right? It'll be fine, right? Okay, it's all right.
Yeah, that was a very Jokic night. It's why he's such an incredible player, and when he gets going, he's unstoppable. And look, they're tough matchups. Dwight Howard's a big dude. Like, you know, when Anthony Davis guards him, I get all that, but then he comes out with a 6-for-13 night, gets into foul trouble, doesn't have much of an impact on the game. He's got to be better than that going forward in the series. All right, let's get back to some football, shall we? Let's play What the Line. Some of the lines in the NFL this weekend, a little strange. We'll spread the line coming up at the bottom of the hour. Get your fake sponsors in. Back after this on 1080 The Fam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's take a stroll around the NFL, playing What the Line. Some of the lines this weekend are a little confusing.
By the way, fun fact, on Jamal Murray, real quick.
Yeah.
Do you know that he actually stayed and lived in the Schitt's Creek Motel?
I did not know that.
Yeah, you don't watch the show, but they're...
It's next on my list.
It's based on them living in a motel, and they end up calling it the Rosebud Motel. It's in Toronto, and I guess it's an actual hub for basketball players. And then Schitt's Creek filmed it for like a month out of the year.
Right.
But yeah, I thought that was funny.
That's a cool, fun little note.
He did an interview and he's like, yeah, I lived there.
I saw they just cleaned up at the Emmys.
Yeah, they got all the categories.
Yeah, a bunch of awards coming for that show.
I think you'll like it. It's a really good show.
Yeah, I love all those actors. That one's next on my list for sure. There's a handful of games that you could look at this weekend just kind of wondering what is going on. I think the one that jumps out the most to me, and maybe you guys agree or disagree with this, probably number one on my list is Minnesota-Tennessee.
Yeah, that's the one that caught my eye quick. What?
Minnesota got shredded by Green Bay in week one. A lot of their points came in kind of garbage time coming back in that football game. And last week, we're just embarrassed by Indianapolis, and we both gambled on Minnesota. That was our only loss of the weekend. Tennessee 2-0. And look, I get that Tennessee hasn't looked dominant, but they are 2-0. They beat Denver on the road in week one, came back, beat Jacksonville last weekend. Tennessee is only favored by 2.5 against Minnesota.
I think what leaves you nervous here, I'm with you. What the line was that? I saw that and I instantly wanted to just put everything on Tennessee. What I hesitate with is the Minnesota Indy game, where we also saw Indy look terrible week one, lose to Jacksonville and think, why are they favored by 3? you just sometimes have to remind yourself the lines are weird and they're weird for a reason. Tennessee very well could win this game by 10 or more, but I think they kind of exposed themselves. Defensively, they weren't really that impressive last weekend.
Yeah, Minshew tore them up.
Minshew was really kind of moving the ball on them, and you think about what they were doing in week one, two, and how it kind of came to the end there. Maybe they just think this is the bounce-back spot, although Minnesota's defense having to replace, six or seven guys this year, it's been a train wreck, but that instantly caught my eye, too, because it feels like Tennessee should be favored by more. I think they're going to win the game, but
right.
I'm probably going to stay away for the reason of the line.
Yeah, you're going to try and avoid that one for sure. Another one for me, and you can throw some of yours out too. Another one for me that I notice is the Denver-Tampa line. Denver's playing with Jeff Driskel, who I'll give him credit, man. He looked good when he came into relief time there against Pittsburgh last weekend. But Jerry Jeudy might be out for this game. He's listed as doubtful potentially for playing this weekend. Philip Lindsay likely not going to play this weekend. So you lost your other back outside of Melvin Gordon. They are at home, so you get that benefit at least. But the injuries on defense, you're playing with a backup quarterback. Tampa's only favored by 5 against Denver.
And some of that to me is about respect for Vic Fangio. Despite the injuries that they have suffered on the defensive end, Von Miller being one of the more prominent ones, I think this is how much do you really trust Brady in the offense? They didn't look particularly inspiring against Carolina till late with that Leonard Fournette run. I kind of understand it. I may not agree with it, but I understand the logic here. Driskel maybe got a rhythm going, and even without Jerry Jeudy, they're probably just going to sling it around with Philip Lindsay being hurt. And Tampa hasn't really been all that impressive 2 weeks in. So maybe this ends up becoming kind of a field goal game, and it's a trust in Vic Fangio defensively.
Yeah, and Atlanta also being 0-2, and they're favored by a field goal at home against Chicago.
Well, that's where I was going to go, but more because both teams are a ridiculous comeback away from being 1-1. I mean, the Bears were down 20 against the Lions. They came back and won. The Falcons, we know about the comeback the Cowboys had against them. If both these teams are 1-1, that's a 7-point line. I think. I mean,
you think the Falcons are favored by 7?
I think the Falcons are laying a touchdown if they're both 1-1 at home. Because I don't think anyone believes in the Bears if that's the case. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Falcons are good. Obviously, they're 0-2, but I know that the Bears aren't good at 2-0.
Okay, now I have a question.
That's a valid point.
I get it, but I got to ask you guys on this line. I'm so tempted to want to bet Colts minus 11.5.
It's up to 12.5 now.
I don't know what to do with that one. I've been staring at that too because the Jets don't have anybody.
And I was going to say,
receiving corps wiped
out. They
are
awful.
The only way I'm touching that game is if I tease it down. I don't get it.
Might be a good call.
I don't know how the Jets are going to. What are the Jets going to do? Even if Philip Rivers is not great, let's say he throws a pick or two.
Well, even last week he didn't do much. A lot of that win was the fact that Kirk Cousins threw 3 picks and handed on the ball, and they got a safety.
Well, and then T.Y. Hilton's got a story like his grandma called and said, "Who the hell is that guy out there? I don't recognize him." So like, there's this motivation factor.
That was bizarre.
Would have been nice if you caught the ball against Jacksonville in week one, T.Y.
Are the Jets going to score? That's a stay away line for me, but
yeah, that's
they hate their coach. They're actively sucking to get rid of that dude. What is that?
Yeah, that I feel like that you shouldn't have much fear laying the big wood there.
Did you see the Jets protest, by the way?
That we talked about it yesterday.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
There was like 12 people showed
from
up.
It that came out. It was pretty sparse.
They tried to make it a big deal.
By the way, I read about this weekend. The Action Network is an amazing website. If you guys like betting sports the way we do, I would highly advise checking it out. The Action Network shows you where the public money is. Tennessee, Minnesota. 99% Tennessee. 99. Yeah. That scares me.
That does. You feel like Minnesota has been awful this year, and Kirk Cousins has just looked terrible. Last week was one of the worst stat lines I've ever seen from a starting quarterback, especially a guy at like his point of his career. He won a playoff game last year. Like, that kind of stat line's inexcusable for him. Doesn't that just have Minnesota figuring it all out, getting the run game going, defense shows up, like they win it 28-14 going away.
Dalvin Cook runs all over them.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. I think this is the biggest, maybe the biggest game of the weekend. I know Saints-Packers is Sunday night. That's going to be, it's not
Baltimore-Kansas City, but that's a Monday night game. So
one of the bigger games of the week, to me, is Rams at Buffalo. Now, the Rams, should be noted, some teams have the approach that if you play multiple East Coast games to just stay on the East Coast. The Rams went home after Philly and then flew back over to New York. The Buffalo Bills being 2-point favorites, I don't know what to make of this. the sharps are loving the Bills here at anything four or under, but I feel like we're overlooking the McVay factor a little bit. They've looked good offensively.
They've looked really good offensively.
And they present a lot of challenges. And with Jalen Ramsey on their defense, can Josh Allen torch the Rams the way he has torched the Dolphins and who was their first game?
The Cowboys. Or no, Bill. So I was thinking of the Rams. Yeah, the Jets. Sorry. Yeah.
Can he do that against the Rams? Maybe, but that's
why I like the Rams game. Probably outright. I mean, I think that
McDermott's
a good coach. I think that Allen is coming around, but if you just look at who these two teams have beat this year each, the Rams' wins have been way more impressive.
And the Bills are down a running back, so it's going to be the Singletary show for them. But yeah, that's a big game to me. I can't wait to see like how much the red zone is going to be checking in on that one, because I think that's going to be a good game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The last one I'll throw out there too, and maybe they shouldn't be surprised because of the injury that's taken place. Carolina's put up a fight in their first two games. They almost knocked off the Raiders in week one. They had that questionable fourth down call where they didn't give it to McCaffrey. Last week, they were covering that spread until a Fournette run late in the game. Again, I know McCaffrey's out, but the rookie quarterback starting this week after having a week of breakdown of film against him, I am a little surprised that the Chargers are favored by basically a touchdown against Carolina.
That's an awful lot of points.
That's a lot of points, isn't it?
The value here, I think, is if it gets to Carolina plus +7. That's basically what they're telling you. If it gets to 7, Carolina's probably the bet, and I'm with you. It's not only that he has film out, he's a rookie.
Yeah, you're going to take your lumps.
And now
you've
got to see a little bit of what tendencies are, or how he kind of examines or breaks down on a play. And I'll give Carolina, it wasn't all that impressive last week, and they were able to kind of keep it close until that late run. I kind of look at that one, too, with Herbert and saying, can you duplicate what you did against the Chiefs? If you do, you should run away with this game or win by a touchdown, but the rookie factor's got to leave you a little nervous.
Right. Never a guarantee with a rookie quarterback. Lots going on in the NFL, man. I can't wait. It's going to be another fun weekend.
Detroit only 5.5 against Arizona, too.
That's an interesting one. What are they trying to tell us?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know which side they're daring us to bet.
Right. That's a good point. And the primetime games this week, too. I mean, it's hard to beat Green Bay, New Orleans on Sunday Night Football, and then Kansas City, Baltimore on Monday Night Football. Sign me up. Let's stick with the gambling. We'll spread the line. Keep your fake sponsors rolling in. 503-250-1080. We all went 2-1 last week. Our boy Kevin Todd will hop on. We'll make some more picks for the upcoming weekend. But first, here's Buck with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we got to wait.
We got to wait.
It's okay. We got to hold on. Yeah. Just hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hey, welcome back in, everybody.
KT called early anyway, so
he did.
Okay.
Yeah, he's ready to go. Hold on.
He is.
Hold on. Hold on. Are you going to sing, Buck? Are you going to sing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, we don't let Swag do it.
I know.
Really?
Yeah. Sprague the line.
Sprague the line.
Look at that. Look at that. Sprague line is brought to you by an actual scouting report from Willie Lyles, much like a winning Sprague pick. Nobody's ever seen one.
Whoa.
Sprague line brought to you by Sprague's wife. She wishes that Sprague's picks weren't the only places he lays the big wood. Sprague and Lyle brought to you by a condom machine in a monastery. Still makes more sense than a Sprague pick. Sprague and Lyle brought to you by Betting Sprague. Just like this year's season, you're not going to win anyways. Sprague and Lyle brought to you by Absolute Certainty. You know, like the Dodgers winning it all or a 20-point lead for the Falcons. Sprague and Lyle brought to you by NFL Hat on Backwards. Still sexier than Sprague picks. We got some more. We'll get to them later. Kevin Todd, our good buddy, sportsbrokers.com. 888-320-7517 is the number to give him a call. Joining us now, what's happening, KT? How are we doing this week?
I'm doing good. Listen, Brandon, I have a question I want to ask you before we start. Since the bet is if I lose to you, I'm going to buy you a new set of golf clubs, and we're going to say that's about $1,500 to $2,000. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Since I agreed to do that for you, you know what I'm going to do that for you. If I win, I want the show name to be changed to Kevin's the Best.
For how long?
For next season.
The whole season?
For next football season, yes. I'm willing to put $1,500, $2,000.
You're right.
And if you lose, you're basically only buying me $100 worth of liquor.
Welcome back into Kevin's the Best.
Andy, is that fair?
Hell no, I don't trust this guy's picks. You kidding me? I listen to his picks every day. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Okay, I think we can work this out. I will side text you, but I love this idea. Is that fair?
Okay. Yes.
We'll figure this out. I think it's a good idea.
I love it, man. I love it. All right, here's what we did last week. KT hit on Central Florida over Georgia Tech, and then the Niners over the Jets. Lost on the Louisville-Miami game. Sprague, you hit on the Raiders and the Giants. Lost on the Vikings. I hit on the Seahawks and the Ravens. Lost on the Vikings as well. And then Swag hit on the Rams and the Dallas Stars, and then lost on Kansas City. We all went 2-1 last weekend. KT, I'll throw it to you. Your first pick of the day.
Well, my first pick of the day is, gentlemen, you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but I absolutely love this game. They've been playing so bad, this football team. We're getting a lot of value here. I'm going to take Minnesota at home, +3 versus Tennessee. Hear me out before you think I'm crazy. Minnesota is a 6-1 straight up at home versus Tennessee, and they're 6-1 against the spread the last time they've played Tennessee. I mean, I like Minnesota here +3 winning the game outright. Taking the 3 is a gift. I like the Vikings.
Okay, Vikings first pick. Sprague, where are you going first pick?
I'm actually going to go to college football for the first time this year.
Oh, okay.
I was doing some reading here, and I was looking at the college lines. And while I might not be big on the huge, ginormous 28, 30-point spreads, I'm going to go into tradition. And the tradition is Alabama, when they're big favorites, they lay off the gas late in the second half. However, since 2012, Nick Saban has been one of the best coaches on the spread in the first half of games. He loves to take it to teams to start to set the tone. I think they're going to do it this year against Missouri. Missouri's had 5 quarterback tryouts go on with their team. They've dealt with COVID issues. It's ugly there. I think Bama's going to open up a can. I'm going to take Bama -15.5 first half line.
-15.5 first half line, okay, against Missouri. I'm going to start in the NFL. My picks in the NFL this weekend. This might be really dumb because this team spurned me a couple weeks back on Thursday Night Football, but Cincinnati's got a terrible defense. I do like Joe Burrow. I think this is a make or break week for Philadelphia. A lot has been made of Carson Wentz, the dumb conversation about his backwards hat. They're only favored by 4.5 against Cincinnati. I think they can win this game by a touchdown at home. Try and turn the season around. I'm taking the Eagles -4.5 against Cincinnati. We got Kevin Todd on the line, sportsbrokers.com, 888-320-7517. Go give him a call. KT, where's pick number 2 coming from you?
Pick number 2 is going to college football. Now, if you guys remember last week, Iowa State was ranked in the top 25. They played at home versus Lafayette and got beat outright. I believe they were like an 18, 19-point favorite. This week, they're on the road, and the odds makers are still making them a favorite at 2.5 at TCU. So I did a little research here. TCU is 1-4 against the spread their last 5 games. They're also 1-4 against the spread their last 5 games versus a Big 12 opponent. Iowa State, on the other hand, they're 4-1 their last 5 versus TCU. They're also 5-0 their last 5 playing in week 3 of college football. I like this here. There's a lot of value here, guys, because they lost last week to Lafayette. They're laying a small number here at 2.5. Plus, TCU is starting a sophomore quarterback for the first time. I'm laying the 2.5. They win the game by double digits. Iowa State's the right side.
All right. Iowa State Cyclones -2.5. Sprague, where are you going? Pick number 2.
I'm going to go to the NFL for my last 2, and I'll start. This line came out and jumped at me when I saw it on the Oregon Sports Lottery app, and I've been all over it all week. I'll say it again. Russell Wilson is amazing, easily the number one vote getter right now for MVP 2 weeks in, but still a lot of season to be played. What we know is the Seahawks don't have much of a defense. Their best pass rusher is a safety. Their secondary now is banged up with Quentin Dunbar. They only have 2 tight ends on their roster. One of them is out with an ACL injury. That doesn't bode well. And I think Dallas played about as poorly as you possibly could, and they still scored 40 points. I think they got the weapons to make this a close game, if not win outright. I think this is a down spot. I'm going to take the Cowboys +6 in Seattle.
Okay, Cowboys +6. Sticking in the NFL for me, this one just kind of a gut. I'm not quite buying Josh Allen. A lot of hype around him after the first 2 weeks of the season. I know they are 2-0 and they're playing at home, but I love the way that Jared Goff and the Rams have looked through the first 2 weeks of the season. Their defense is playing good. I'd argue a couple of quality wins for them. They're catching 2.5 on the road at Buffalo. I think they can win the game outright. I'm taking the Rams +2.5 at Buffalo on Sunday. Kevin Todd, our guest, sportsbrokers.com. Go check them out. 888-320-7517 is the number to call. KT, where's your last pick coming this week?
All right, before I get going, Brandon, when did you become a sharp bettor?
Once I started talking to you, I learned what your tricks were, and I started reading up on stuff.
Jeez, I can't believe I like those 2 games, too.
Thank you.
For my last pick, another team that's getting a lot of getting no respect and getting a lot of value is Oklahoma State. Remember last week, they were 21.5-point favorites, and they barely beat Tulsa 16-7. But when you look at this game, West Virginia is 0-5 against their last five games at Oklahoma State, and they're 3-6 against the spread their last nine. Oklahoma State, on the other hand, fellas, they're 11-4 against the spread their last 15, dating back to last season. Plus, when they play at home as a favorite, they're 7-3 against the spread. Oklahoma State here bounces back. I see them winning this game by at least double digits as well. A lot of value here because the public is basing their picks on how teams played the previous week, yeah, which is totally wrong. The lines are dropping. Lay the 6.5 with Oklahoma State. Don't even worry. Game is done. They win by double digits.
Cowboys, I like it, against West Virginia. All right, Sprague, where's your last pick?
My last pick is going to be in the NFL. I really like this. The Raiders coming off a big win against the Saints. It looked like a lot of fun in the locker room with them celebrating. But Josh Jacobs and Waller are now questionable. They're not going to have Henry Ruggs, so the speed threat has gone a bit here, and it's Bill Belichick preparing to take on a team on a short week. I think Belichick has everything, you know, designed to kind of stop some of their big playmakers. Cam Newton's not going to have his starting center. He injured his thumb in practice, but I think they'll be okay without it for a week. I'm going to take Pats -5.5 on this one. Bill Belichick, by the way, at Gillette Stadium /Foxborough, 60% of the games he has covered against the spread. I like those odds. Give me the Pats -5.5.
That's a good number. I've looked at that game this week as well. My last one, I'm going to go sticking in the NFL. I'm not quite sure why this line is so low. I know Tampa hasn't looked great through the first 2 weeks, but I think they're going to get better as the year goes on. They did end up covering late last week against Carolina at home. They're on the road at Denver. Jeff Driscoll's starting. They got other injuries on offense for the Broncos. We know Von Miller is out. Bucks only laying the 5 on the road at Denver. I love this. Think they can win by a touchdown. I'm taking Tampa Bay -5 at Denver. All right, here are the picks. Kevin Todd going with the Vikings +3 against Tennessee. Iowa State -2.5 against TCU. And then Oklahoma State -6.5 against West Virginia. Sprague's going Alabama -15.5 first half line against Missouri. The Cowboys +6 at Seattle. And New England -5.5 against the Raiders. I'm taking the Eagles -4.5 against Cincinnati. The Rams +2.5 at Buffalo. And then Tampa Bay -5 at Denver. And then Swag's picks, he's out for the rest of the day. He's taking the Lakers -6 in game 5. The Bucks, like me, -5 against Denver. And then he's taking the over in the Dallas-Seattle game of 56.5. Go check him out, sportsbrokers.com, 888-320-7517. Kevin Todd, thanks as always, buddy.
Well, and I'm going on record right now. I think you're going to go 3-0, Brandon.
Oh, okay.
Can you believe that?
Well, you just jinxed it. Now you just jinxed it. Why would you do that to me?
I only said that because your wife just sent me a Venmo for $500. Come on.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Bye-bye.
There you go, Kevin Todd. So there's the picks. If you miss them, we'll tweet them out at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Sprague and Live brought to you by 230, where Sprague takes a deuce every Friday. Sprague and Live brought to you by Dirt's Twitter, where 4 sports are happening simultaneously, and you have no clue which sport Dirt is reacting to. I try and keep it as vague as I possibly can.
What a move.
What a shot. What else we got here? Spring and Live brought to you by the Chargers team doctors. The odds they'll puncture your lung with a paint shot might be low, but they're way higher than your chances of winning a Sprague pick.
Hashtag too soon.
What else we got here? Spring and Live sponsored by facial hair. When that's the most interesting part of a football game, take advice from a man who can't grow any and pick the under.
Hell yeah, baby.
Take the under. Spring and Live brought to you by Gardner Minshew. Whatever Brandon believes in will surely disappoint, just like his picks.
Ouch, that one hurt. That's a low blow.
Spring and Live brought to you by Oregon State Beavers bowl eligibility. Hey, proof that in 2020 anything can happen, including winning a Sprague pick.
Let's go, baby. We're going bowling. The Duke Mayo Classic.
Sprague and the Line brought to you by the Sprague Jinx. It's still here. It's just called Sprague and the Line.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, there you go. Sprague and the Line every Friday. Again, we'll tweet out the picks at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan, if you miss them. Everybody with a 2-1 weekend last weekend.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. I don't think collectively we've had a weekend like that.
That does not happen very often. A quick reminder, by the way, on the season standings. I forgot to throw that out. It is early, very, very, very early. Sprague's in first place. He's off to a 4-2 start. I am closely behind in second at 3-1-2. That doesn't sound right. I need to redo my math there. Swag and Kevin Todd are both 3-3. So that's where we're at 2 weeks into the season. Let's answer the poll question, send you off into the weekend. We'll do it next on The Fam. Friday,
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that's right. Fist pumping your way into the weekend every Friday. You got to turn your mic on for the last segment.
It is.
This is it. I mean, we'll be back Monday, but that's it for this week.
Hopefully, think we're going to be back Monday.
Fingers crossed.
2020.
Knock on wood if you're with me. Here are the answers to the poll questions before we get to this evening's festivities and the rest of the festivities of the weekend.
We didn't do a lot of poll questions.
Oh, I did. Poll questions, bro. Did you not go vote on them?
I saw the Pac-12 one and the one I did. I didn't know you added any more.
We had four today, I think.
Ah, gotcha.
Pac-12 is back. Who's going to win the conference?
Oregon State.
Okay. You were in the 10% that answered other.
Oh, we couldn't even get a name.
I didn't get you a slot. There's only four slots. I didn't give you a slot.
Who finished second in the North last year?
I don't know. Who won the North last year?
King of the North. Well, it's a new year, so who cares?
It's a new year, new you. Oregon took 75% of the vote. I know, shocking.
I'm stunned. I can't believe it.
10% took USC. 4% took Washington. 10% did say other. And I'm fairly certain every other response, because I asked who, and people responded with a lot of Beaver GIFs there at the tweet. Another one. What percentage chance do you give the Pac-12 to make the playoff this year? 75%, 50%, 25%, or LOL, 0% chance?
Well, the 0% LOL crowd might be in full swing today. I'm going to guess that the winner is 50%.
Ooh, look at you being all positive. The winner was 0% at 40. The second place was 25% at 34% doing percents, and percents is a little confusing.
We have a lot of insecure fans in our conference.
How about the 4%ers out there that said there's a 75% plus chance they make the playoffs?
Why can't
this year
there be?
Let's go,
Why
baby
can't there be? What if Oregon lives up to the hype? What if USC lives up to the hype? I don't understand the defeatist mentality. Will they? Probably not. But why not be optimistic?
You got to believe. Who will have more wins this year? Washington State or Oregon State?
Wow. Really?
Who's going to have more wins this year?
You know who was second to last in the North last year? Washington State. You know who was second? Oregon State. This is a disrespectful poll question.
Who won when they played?
I don't remember.
Washington State, remember, because Oregon State blew like a 20-point lead.
Okay,
and
I remember.
Would have been their win against the
bowl game. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
I remember.
They blew it. It's the second last week of the year.
Oh, they blew it. Okay.
And they lost that game.
You're such a jerk.
Probably would have gone to a bowl game if
Oregon
they won
State.
That one.
Unknown with Rolovich. We don't know what their quarterback situation is. Give me the Beavs.
What's Oregon State's quarterback situation?
Jabia.
Oh, okay.
Forget about Tristan, did you?
I did forget about Tristan, yeah, I did.
At least we know our quarterback.
Isn't it funny that, and I'm sure we've done this before and it's happened, but just thinking, when was the last time we had four new starting quarterbacks in the Northwest?
I mean,
I'm sure somebody knows the answer to that, but Washington State's replacing, Gordon's gone.
I think we brought this up last
Washington,
year.
Washington, obviously, Oregon, obviously, yeah. And Oregon State moving on from Jake Luton.
Did you know Garber's little brother is at UW?
I did not know that.
So we might have two starting Garber quarterbacks in the
Garber
North.
Garber versus Garber.
Be pretty cool.
Cal could be the sleeper this year, man. I'll just say this.
I like Cal. Cal's good.
Yeah, on the Pac-12 note, like, we did so much in the summer talking about it before the year was canceled. And I think in the back of our minds, we expected the year to get postponed or canceled. And then it was just kind of this weird, like, let's talk about the season, but we don't think the season's going to happen. And then it did get postponed. And now we've been in this hypothetical of when are they going to play? How are they going to play? What's it going to look like? Not like the only answer we don't have is scheduling, and we'll find that out next week of exactly who you're playing and when you're playing everybody. It's just going to it's going to be fun in the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks leading up to it to get back to actually talking about the teams and who's going to be good and the starting quarterbacks and the coaches. Like, getting back to actually talking about football in the Pac-12 is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, riddle me this, Batman.
Okay.
Much in the way that we talked about bubble basketball and what it would it be weird or random? I would say the fifth seed in the East getting to the finals is pretty random and doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a possibility that we kind of have that in the Pac-12 this year where we assume the top dogs, but maybe they don't quite have it, and then you get that random team or teams?
I wouldn't be surprised about it. I think Cal's a good example of that coming out of the North. I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. I think this is a year, too, where you don't have, and this has been the problem with the Pac-12 for a long time, you don't really have an elite team. You have a handful of good teams and teams that have the potential to be good, but you don't have the one that sticks out head and shoulders above everybody else. So it's going to likely end up being a season again in the Pac-12 where everybody beats up on everybody and just whoever is the last man standing wins.
You might be right on that. I do beg to differ on that. I think if you were to do a preseason media poll, the way we do in August, mm-hmm. now this is kind of their fall camp, right? I bet if you did a preseason media poll to win the North, it would probably be 100% Oregon.
Yeah, I think they deserve to be the favorite, but they have a ton of question marks. We don't know what their quarterback is. Yeah. The entire new starting offensive line. You're replacing two starting defensive backs potentially to the NFL.
Which we wait and see on that. Right. There's no word on whether they will switch their minds the way like Rondell Moore yesterday for Purdue announced that he was going to come back. Maybe you'll get that with Graham and Lenore, but... I mean, you're right. Oregon has a lot of question marks. If we were seeing the media pick it,
they'll be the odds on favorite.
They would probably be the favorite.
Yeah. Let's get to that game you talked about with Miami being an underdog. There was a crazy stat. I'd have to go look it up. It was basically like their winning percentage and how many teams in the history have had a winning percentage where they were at in the regular season and have gone on to the NBA finals. They have the chance to do it tonight. Is the Eastern Conference finals over this evening?
I do not think so. I think Boston's going to get one more game. And again, I said this, I think Miami is going to win the series in six.
Yeah. I had a little Tampa Boston parlay tonight.
You know, this is going to sound bad from the guy who claims to love NBA basketball. I do want both the teams to get the series done and get to the finals. Because while the crossovers are great, you also have the balancing act of football, basketball.
For sure.
Baseball starting their postseason next week.
It's a little overwhelming, you know?
The plate's getting full.
Yeah, I got like four screens going at the same time. I got a phone, I got a tablet, I got a computer, I got a TV. I only got room for so much, man. It's been fun, though. I'm enjoying every minute of it. Thank you for being a part of our Friday. If you missed any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy college football. Enjoy the NBA. Be safe.
Win money.
Win money. We'll be back on Monday, hopefully, and it should be another fun week of shows. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday at noon. And what's next? Listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.